I can't help but digress for a moment. When I was down in Arizona through the middle part of this week after preaching there on Sunday, I was told that I was going to go visit a certain gentleman because he wanted to share his testimony with me among the many things that we had to do. And I was taken to a home of a gentleman by the name of Chuck Holmes, and he unfolded for me an astonishing story. I had met him because he had been at a shepherd's conference, and another occasion some years ago when I was in Arizona, I had also met him and he had introduced himself to me, but I didn't know the full story of this man's life. Up until a few years ago, he was a criminal of the most persistent kind, repeatedly in prison, one sentence after another. And having committed some crime or series of crimes, was taken into incarceration for, I think he thought, a 10-year sentence. He had, he said, managed to deceive and steal from everybody, including his own family. And he said they just kept getting back into line to get conned again and again and again because they believed my lies about reforming. And so he was an inveterate criminal. He was in prison. He was sentenced, and he said that it was an unusual day that began with an amazing sense of guilt, just as if it came out of the blue. Of course, he knows it was a convicting work of the Holy Spirit, and he said he wept for the whole day and cried to God for his sins. And he says it's pretty amazing because he had no conscience up to that point. Absolutely no conscience. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict, the rankest of immoral people, and the story goes on and on. And he showed me photographs of himself, and he looked like death warmed over, to put it mildly. He was really in horrific condition. But bypassing a flawed conscience, the Spirit of God brought him under immense conviction. He embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through a period of days, and then he didn't know where to go or where to turn, and somebody gave him some of the Grace to You tapes. And so he began to listen to the teaching of the Word of God, and he said to me, I've listened to every tape you've ever made, every sermon you've ever preached, and I probably know more about what you preach than you do, since you only preach them once and I listen to them many times. So he's somewhere near 4,000 messages that he's listened to repeatedly. So in a very real sense, he is a true disciple of mine, and God has allowed me to be his sort of father in the faith. And then he went on to reading the books and until he became really knowledgeable and strong in his faith in Christ and mature. He was, after a number of years, released from prison, determined that he was going to minister to the many who were in prison, and he was going to provide Bible teaching for those that desired it. And so he began a very interesting kind of ministry where he offered himself to prisoners who wanted to correspond with him spiritually, that he would answer every letter. And so he began to do that. And the word spread, if you have any spiritual questions, you write to Chuck. And he began this ministry, and I think now he spends about 5 hours a day, every single day, answering these letters. And he took me into his little office in his home where he had the stack from that day of correspondence going back and forth to these prisoners, not in local jails, but in the penitentiaries, the major prisons, many of them in there for life. And then as the correspondence goes on, he determined he needed to provide some discipleship ministry for them, something they could dig into. And so he began to distribute the books from our ministry that he could get to them, put them in prison libraries and send them in whatever way he could. And then beyond that, he determined that he would take the fundamentals of the faith, which is a curriculum we use around here for instruction and the basics of the Christian faith, and he would distribute those. He has now become the largest distributor of FOF material in the world. And they go into the prisons by the thousands now every year. And when the prisoners complete the book, and they have to do it from front to back and send it to him, he grades it and sends it back, and their reward for having completed the whole book is to receive a MacArthur Study Bible. And so he is now the largest distributor of MacArthur Study Bibles in the world. He sends them in by the thousands every year. In fact, it is so amazing, it has grown so large that just the other day he told me, and I saw with my own eyes, a semi-truck backed up to his garage and unloaded 5 pallets of study Bibles for him to send in the mail to these prisoners who completed that. And he said for them, it is the answer to everything. It is the library they've wanted in one book. The problem was the prisons wouldn't allow hardback books in because they can make weapons out of the cardboard. And so he went to the publishers, Thomas Nelson, and got them to publish a not for sale, but only for giveaway, in case you're wondering, paperback edition of the study Bible that they can get at a low price and send into these prisons. He does this all by himself, totally motivated from inside his heart, answers letters 4, 5, 6 hours a day, grades the books that are coming back, and with joy sends back thousands of study Bibles every year to these men in the penitentiaries. And he says what's happening in these penitentiaries is long-term prisoners, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to life, are growing so strong in the Lord that they literally are equipped to be elders and pastors, and they're leading others to Christ and starting churches that they actually shepherd and pastor in the prisons, in the penitentiaries. The prisoners themselves are becoming pastors, planting their own churches, leading fellow prisoners to Christ and nurturing them. So we have an ongoing prison ministry through this amazing and remarkable man, Chuck Holmes, who has a great love for me and for our church, and he'll be back with friends at the Shepherd's Conference again this year. God, I was thinking of that, of these men were giving their testimony. Here's a ministry to men that nobody even knows about, functioning out of this one man's life. And, of course, one of the reasons he wanted to meet with me was to see if we could get some help for him, just trying to answer all of these letters and trying to grade all these things. You know, we ought to just start a class in the seminary called Mail Answering and FOF Grading. And we'll just assign some seminary guys to do this, to give him some help. And some help in purchasing all these Bibles. But what an amazing thing. One man, internally motivated, nobody looking over his shoulder, supported by his church, that East Valley Bible Church, and giving his life in this fashion. And he has over his desk 2 photographs of himself, a before Christ and an after Christ. And I'm telling you, they are startling to see how the Lord has blessed him. And of course, his wife has now come to Christ, and she is his helper in this ministry. And when he talks about how he's changed, she has this amazing smile that breaks across her face. The word is powerful, isn't it? It changes lives everywhere. Just think of it, prisoners planting churches in their own prisons and becoming the shepherds of their own prison flocks. How wonderful is that?